వివేక చూడమణి శ్లోక 152. పంచానామపి కోశానాం అపవాదే విభాత్యయం శుద్ధః నిత్యానందైకరసః ప్రత్యగ్రూపః పరం స్వయం జ్యోతిః. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక దట్ వి సా ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్, ది ఆచార్య గేవ్ ది ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ ది వాటర్ కవర్డ్ బై ది గ్రీన్ మాస్. ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే, జస్ట్ ఆస్ ద మాస్ వాస్ కవరింగ్ ద వాటర్ అండ్ ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ రిమూవింగ్ ది మాస్ వన్ కుడ్ డ్రింక్ అండ్ గెట్ ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్, సిమిలర్లీ ది మాస్ ఆఫ్ పంచకోశ has also to be negated or removed to enjoy the purnatvam of the atma. So he says panchanam koshanam apavade. Suppose the seeker, he negates the panchakoshas, apavada means negation, we have seen these terms earlier, then what happens? I am shuddha vibhati. Just as the example, the Shuddha Salilam, the water, was available after removing the mass. Here also, I am Shuddha Atma Vibhati. The pure self, Atma, Shuddha Atma, pure self, that becomes evident, Vibhati. And what type of Atma it is? In the example for water, he gave so many adjectives, if you remember, glorifying the water. Here, Atma is Nitya Ananda Eka Rasaha. That's what he says. Atma, which is uniform, which is eternal happiness. That is the Atma. Uniform means here pure, unadulterated or unmixed with sorrow. Homogeneous Ananda. We can say no adultery with sorrow at all. Which is very eternal, Nityam. And Pratyagrupaha, which is the inner essence of everyone. Pratyak. Pratyak means inner. Rupaha means swarupam. So pratyak swarupam yasyasaha pratyak rupaha, which is the very inner essence of everybody. Paraha, which is the ultimate essence or substratum, and which is swayam jyotihi. Swayam jyotihi means it is self-effulgent. Therefore, it is self-evident. Because it is self-effulgent, it is self-evident. So what is our job now? Pancha kosha apanaya and owning up the beautiful Atma. That is what we have to do now. So we have to note a point here very clearly before we go further. The example says the water is covered by moss, the green stuff. And if you extend the same example, we say Atma is covered by the pancha koshas, annamayadi koshas. But we should remember that this is only a figurative covering. Because really speaking, Atma cannot be covered by anything in the literal sense of the term. Why? Because of again two reasons. One, Atma being infinite, the cover should be bigger than what it covers. So it's not possible because Atma is infinite. And number two, Atma being the very consciousness, it is all the time evident. It can never be covered because everything including ignorance becomes evident because of Atma only. So it cannot be covered. For example, if I ask you whether you know Mandarin Chinese, if I ask somebody for example, or French, whatever it is, then you will say, I don't know. Then ask, if I ask then, do you know that you do not know Chinese? That means, do you know that you have Chinese ignorance? Yes, you know you have Chinese ignorance. You know you have got Vedanta ignorance. That is why you are all attending the classes, webinars, to remove the ignorance. And if you are ignorant of something and ignorant of the fact that you are ignorant, they are all there because students are aware of their ignorance of that subject. There will be no college at all because no colleges will have students. No teachers will have any work at all if people are not aware of their ignorance. So ignorance is known because of what? That consciousness, and therefore ignorance cannot cover consciousness. The very ignorance is illumined by consciousness. So there is nothing that can cover Atma. When we say consciousness, it is all Chaitanya. We should understand. Then how can we talk about the Pancha Koshas covering Atma? So we have to interpret the covering in a different manner. And what is that? Because of the intimate availability of the Pancha Koshas to me, unlike the external world, they serve as objects of identification. What is that? I identify with the body and mistake the body as myself. So they become the cause of self-error. If you remember all these terms, self-error and all that. Cause for abhimana, deha abhimana. And when I develop abhimana with the body, mind and all that, the very abhimana makes me disown my nature, my original nature. Just as my absorption, for example, in a dream, make me lose sight of my waker nature. My absorption in the movie, for example, make me lose sight of the screen. The panchakoshas become the source or cause of abhimana, deha abhimana, and then in the process, I disown my original nature. Therefore, figuratively, I can say that the movie is covering the screen. Because as even we watch the movie, we are seeing the screen only all the time. And the screen is evident all the time during or after the movie also, ever evident. If at all covering happens, it is only because of distraction by the movie. Similarly, when I say I, two things are evident. Number one, the consciousness. That is why I say I am conscious being. And two, the body-mind complex or the panchakoshas, they are also evident. But which wins the game between the panchakoshas and Atma? Not the Atma, obviously. Only panchakoshas tell me they identify with me. And we fall for the advertisement of the panchakoshas, as Swamiji says, because it is attractive. So instead of claiming I am the nature of consciousness, I claim I am so many years old. This is my educational qualification. This is my spouse. This is my gold medalist. This is gold medalist son. All those we are proud of. Because Maya is Mohini. Because it has got the marketing strategy. Poor Brahman does not have any such skills at all. Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Agandam. Who will be attracted towards that Brahman? No marketing skills at all. So no Vedantin knows marketing either. Therefore, what is meant by covering here? Only distraction. That's what is happening. So like in our common example of light and hand, whenever I put my hand on the light, both are evident. What are the both? The light and hand, both are evident. Because of the light alone, hand is also evident. But when we ask what is here, invariably everyone will say hand alone is evident and not hand and light. Similarly, Chaitanyam is evident in all the three states of consciousness, waking, dream state and deep sleep state. So removal of Panchakosha is not removing or destroying Panchakoshas. But it is only removal of panchakosha abhimana. So, kosha apavadaha nama, kosha abhimana apavadaha. And what do we mean by abhimana? Mistaking the kosha as I. You may not say, I am the body. But when you say, I am getting old, I am indirectly, you only say what? I am the body. When I say, I get old, what do we really say? We say we are the body. I am fair, I am lean, I am fat. They all describe the body only. All indicate our body abhimana. So Panchakosha Viveka is dropping that abhimana and claiming the Atma, the Chaitanya. Shloka 152. Atmana Atma Vivekaha Kartavyo Bandha Mukto Vidusha Tenaivanandhi Bhavati Swam Vijnayam Satchidanandam. So he says, Panchakoshas, Panchakosha Viveka is not an optional thing. Panchakosha Viveka is not optional. It should be done by all who seek freedom from bondage. ఆత్మ అనాత్మ వివేక కర్తవ్య. దిస్ ఆత్మ అనాత్మ వివేక ఆర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మ్యాటర్ వివేక. ది డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ బిట్వీన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ అండ్ మ్యాటర్, దాట్ డిస్క్రిమినేషన్ షుడ్ బి డన్. కర్తవ్య, ఇట్ ఈస్ వన్స్ డ్యూటీ టు డూ దాట్. బై హూమ్? విదుషా. By intelligent people, Vidusha, who have discovered the human problem. He uses the word Vidusha because only the intelligent would have discovered the problem as due to self-ignorance. Other people would not have even discovered this problem. The unintelligent people also seek the same thing though. All human beings, they seek the same moksha. There is no difference. Everybody wants happiness, ananda only. The only difference is some people know that we are seeking moksha, some people do not, because they have not diagnosed the problem. So medicine is not taken even though disease is still there by those people. So here Vidusha does not refer to a jnani but to an intelligent seeker. Ajnani, he is an intelligent seeker, still he is an ajnani only, a qualified seeker, a sadhana chaturtaya sampanna adhikari seeker who diagnosed the problem. The Atma Anatma Viveka should be done. He knows. For what purpose? Bandha Muktaye. For freedom from bondage. Bandha. Sense of limitation. Location. Sense of location. That I am a finite human being. And why does this bandha, the bandha bondage come? If you remember, Shankaracharya defined bondage as Atasmin Tadbuddhihi. If you remember earlier. Mistaking the body as myself because of self-ignorance, self-error. Ignorance bond error. That is bondage. Bondage is ignorance bond error. Here the bondage is mistaking the five koshas, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, the koshas as myself. And since every kosha is limited, identification with them make me feel limited also. So bandhasya muktihi. Here means giving up or destruction. So bandha muktaye means bandha nashaya, bandha tyagaya, bandha nivaranaya, bandha nirashaya, ityartha, all those things. So this is a peculiar Sanskrit language normal usage here. Normally we talk about liberation of the seeker. That is purushasya muktihi. That's what normally we talk about, liberation of the seeker. But here we are talking about bandhasya muktihi, liberation of the bandha. Here mukti should be translated as tyagaha or giving up mukti. Okay, by removing the bondage which is in the form of self error, what benefit do I get? Shankaracharya says tenaiva anandi bhavati. The shift in the I, capital I, that is the shift from sorrow to full ananda, from limitation to purnatvam. Because according to Vedanta, sorrow is the sense of limitation. Chandogya Upanishad very clearly says, Na alpe sukham asti, alpatvam is dukkham, purnatvam is anandaha. When I own up the limitless atma, tenaiva anandi bhavati. When I own up the infinite atma, that is ananda. Tena. Tena means by Atma Anatma Vivekena, one becomes Purnaha. Here Ananda is not an experiential pleasure which comes and goes. We have discriminated all this earlier. Ananda here is not any experiential pleasure. Any experienced pleasure that comes and goes. But the sense of Purnatvam that permanently continues throughout our life, that is Ananda. And how does it happen? How does that sense of Purnatvam come? Sachidanandam swam vijnaya. Because he recognizes himself through this Atma Anatma Viveka. Swam. Swam means self. How does he recognize himself as what? Sachidanandam vijnaya. As Sat, Chit and Ananda. Knowing that. Sat. Sat means eternal or existence principle. As a noun and not as an adjective. Which lends existence to all things in creation. Remember, chit is consciousness. Here also it is not an adjective of matter, but consciousness as the noun which blesses matter. So remember the example, the light is not the property of the hand. It is an independent principle. In the light hand example, light is an independent principle, pervading and blessing the hand. So is consciousness. Anandam. Anandam means what? I am Purnaha. That iti jnanam. Not as an adjective again. So an experiential pleasure, a property of the mind, but as noun itself, pleasure should be taken as Purnatvam. So Sachidanandam Vijnaya, one recognizes oneself to be Sachidananda Atma. Vijnaya means one recognizes oneself. Tena Anandi Bhavati. By recognizing thus, he becomes Anandi. So Shankaracharya, he must be remembering the Taittiriya Vakyam here. Raso Vaisaha Rasagakyevayam Labdva Anandi Bhavati. That's what Taittiriya Upanishad says. So Anandi Bhavati. That idea is brought here by the Acharya. So shloka, next shloka, shloka 153. Munjadi shikamivat drishya vargate pratyancha matmanam matmanam asargamakriyam vivichya tatra pravilapya sarvam tadatmana tishtati yassa muktaha. This is a beautiful and a complete shloka. We call it a complete shloka, where the entire self-inquiry is condensed in a nutshell. The self-inquiry is done actually in two stages. The first stage is reducing the whole creation into two, consciousness and matter. So reducing first the whole creation into these two things. I but the experiencer is consciousness. Whatever I experience is matter. So I, the experiencer, is consciousness, and whatever is experienced is matter. This is the first stage called Tvam Pada Viveka. In Tattvamasi, Tati Tvamasi, this is called Tvam Pada Viveka, analyzing what this Tvam Pada is, the term Tvam is. That is, I am the conscious principle. It's not an adjectival principle, noun consciousness, and all others are matter, including my own body and mind. The only difference is what? They can borrow consciousness, unlike maybe a table and a chair or a computer. They cannot borrow consciousness, whereas my body and mind, they can borrow consciousness to be sentient. Therefore, body and mind, they can become sentient by borrowed consciousness. Therefore, world, body, mind, they are all what? They are all only experienced matter. I am the experiencer. That is the stage one of understanding. Number two, second stage is, we have to reduce these two into one, namely the body, mind, that matter, and the Chaitanyam, Atma, consciousness, into one. So we have to come to then Advaitam. From plurality, first we have now progressed from plurality to what? To duality. From so many things were there, we reduce the entire thing into two, namely Chaitanyam, consciousness, and matter, two. And now from these two, we have to come into Advaitam. So earlier there were so many things in creation, now we have reduced into two. So Drik and Drishya, this is in Vedanta, this is called Drik and Drishya Vivekaha, consciousness and matter. Next stage is, these two should be folded into one. And how do we do that? By the second stage of teaching, in which the matter is resolved into consciousness. The anatma is resolved into atma. Anatma gets resolved into atma by showing that matter does not have an existence of its own, independent of consciousness. Matter does not exist of its own unless blessed by consciousness. So matter is like wave. Consciousness is like water. Matter is like a pot. Consciousness is like clay. Even though two words are there, pot and clay, we know that there is no pot other than clay. Similarly, there are two words, consciousness and matter. There is no matter separate from consciousness. Similarly, we say observer and observed. Two words. Really speaking, there is no observed separate from the observer. And the Vedanta example is the dream world actually. Even though the dream world is observed very tangibly, realistically, it does not exist separate from the observer. Similarly, this world also does not exists separate from the observer. Ultimately, the two is reduced into one. And what is that? The observer I. It is reduced to the observer I. Sadeko Vasishtaha Shivaha Kevaloham, Acharya said. They say in Shankaracharya's biography, when Shankaracharya met his guru, Govinda Bhagavatpada, he asked, who are you? That's what the Acharya asked him. Shankaracharya already knew the truth, even though he was a very young boy, because he is supposed to be an avatara. So going to the guru and all those things is to only fulfill the formality. Because a person to get jnanam, he has to go to guru upasadhanam and all those things. He has to go approach a guru, seek his teaching. So all this is a formality. Otherwise, we won't go ourselves. If even such people, if they don't show to us that we have to go, all people won't go. So Shankaracharya gave the answer in 10 shlokas called the Dashashloki, very popular shlokas. Na bhumir, na toyam, na tejo, na vayuhu, na kham nendriyam, va na tesham, samuhaha, anekantikatvat, sushuptyeka siddhaha, tadeko vasishtaha, shiva kevaloham. One of the greatest Advaita Acharyas, Madhusudana Saraswati, he wrote a book itself on these 10 shlokas called the Siddhanta Bindu, a very beautiful work, very advanced text in Vedanta. There he says, Tad yeko avasishtaha shivaha kevalaha aham. I am the ultimate reality, shiva kevalaha aham, who remains after resolving everything in creation. So the world is resolved into subject and object. And when object is resolved into subject, what remains? That is I. And once when I alone remains, I cannot be called the subject also. There will be a subject only when there is an object. When I that is also resolved, there is no subject also. Because the observer status is from the standpoint of observed. And who am I? Observer, observed, vilakshana chaitanyam, who is different from observer and observed, that chaitanyam I am. How will it be like that? Daily we experience this. In sleep also, I am the pure awareness without the observer observed division during deep sleep. Nirvikalpaka advaita chaitanyam aham asmi. I am every day, I am experiencing this. These are the two stages. Again, the first stage is to divide the entire creation into two, namely consciousness and matter. And the second stage is to resolve matter into consciousness. So this Shankaracharya puts it in a technical form here. He says, Atmanam drishyavargat vivichya. Atmanam in the second line and drishyavargat in the first line and vivichya in the third line. We have to couple all these three together. So Atma, Atma is the consciousness, which is the subject. And Drishyavargat, the matter. That of course, the Drishyam is the matter, which is the object. Vargaha means group, the group of objects, Drishya Samuhaha. So the group includes what all the things? The entire creation, my own body, mind also is included in that. So Drishya Samuhaha, and from that object, Atmanam vivichya, one should separate the observer consciousness. How to do that? Shankaracharya, he will tell later. But the methodology is, you know, is going to be described at a later time. He's not going to do it right now. But we have to see it at a later. So, I am not the world, but I am the observer of the world. I am not the body, but I am the observer of the body and mind. And I am not the mind also, because I am the experiencer of the mind also. I, the experiencer, am different from what I experience. So, neti, 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 sthula prapanchaha neti, sthula shariram neti, antakaranam neti, nayiti, nayiti, neti, snayiti. So, I am not any of those. I am not the gross body. I am not the subtle body. I am not the antakaranam, the inner equipment mind. I am not. After negating one not the other, that is vivichya. Observer should remain alone. If you negate everything, what remains? Observer alone remains. And what type of Atma it is, observer? Pratyancham, which is the innermost consciousness. What can be negated? All, what can be negated, these are all outer ones. What cannot be negated should be the innermost one. For example, if a person wears a coat, a shirt, and an inner garment like a banyan and all that, we say banyan is the innermost, shirt is outer, and the coat is still outer. And on what basis? You can remove the coat first, and what is removable first is outer, and what is removable second is inner, inner to the first one. And what is removable third is inner to the second one. So whatever is removed is outer. Whatever not removed is inner, in that order. Similarly, when you negate the whole world, it is outer. Still, the body remains. That is still inner. And when we go to the dream world, the body also is negated in dream. So you don't have this body. You have the dreaming mind, but you don't have this body. Therefore, mind is considered to be inner to the body. By what reason? After removing the body also, mental personality continues. And then even after negating the mind, what remains? I, the observer, that remains. And the observer I can never be negated. And that unnegatable I, that is defined as the innermost. Therefore, it is called pratyancham. Pratyancham, that word, that's what it signifies. So the inner one, the innermost one. And why it should be given in quotation, inner? If you say Atma is within, when you say the inner, inner should be within quotes. Because if you say Atma is within, then it will convey what? It will convey location for Atma. Atma is inside. It conveys location. Once location is implied, then what will follow? Limitation will be conveyed. So the word inner is only figurative. When we say Atma is innermost, it is only figurative. In the word all-pervading, there is neither inner nor outer. All upon the Atma only. And then Asangam, which is Asangaha. Atma is Asangaha. Untainted, unaffected, like the light. Remember the light example? The light pervades the hand and also illumines the hand. But it is not tainted by the dirt in the hand. Not because the light is away from the hand, in spite of its being in and through the hand, that is why in Vedanta we use two words, immanent, at the same time transcendental. We use these two words in Vedanta, immanent and transcendental. Immanent means remains unattached, and transcendental means not attached. Immanent remains attached. Transcendental, not attached, like the lotus leaf in water. But the lotus leaf is in the midst of water only, but it is not affected by water. It is not wet by water. The screen is intimately close to the movie, but screen is not affected by it. If there is a burning, you know, scene in the movie, the screen doesn't burn. The entire dream world is in the waker only, but the waker is not wet by the dream water, for example, or dream not burned by the dream fire. This concept, that is, it is intimate, but it is not affected. That concept, that intimacy is called immanence in Vedanta. And not being affected, that is called transcendental. Therefore, consciousness is in the mind, but it does not have raga dveshadi problems, even though it is in the mind. It does not have the raga dveshadi problems. Consciousness is in the body, but it does not have old age, jara, disease. It does not have all of them. That is here, in this particular shloka, that is set here as asangaha, transcendental. And akriyam. Akriyam means actionless. Again, we have to remember the light example. When the hand moves, I move the hand, what happens? The light seemingly moves, but actually light does not at all. All motions are in space. Space itself is motionless. If you take space, all motions occur in space only. But space itself is motionless. All actions, they are all in consciousness. But consciousness itself is actionless. Chaitanyam is actionless. Akarta, abhokta. Therefore, akriyam, akarta. This inner, untainted, actionless consciousness should be separated from what now? The opposite. The outer, tainted, moving matter. It should be separated from that. So this inner, untainted, actionless consciousness should be separated from the outer, tainted, moving matter. For this separation, Shankaracharya, he gives an example which is given from the Kathopanishad. Angushta matraha purushontaratma sada jananam hridaye sannivishtaha tam swacharirat pravrihet munjadiva ishikam dairyena tam vidya chukramamritam tam vidya chukramamritam iti. Towards the end of the Kathopanishad, there is this example given as based on a type of grass called the munja grass. So, which has sharp edges. This grass has sharp edges that can cut even our hands, very sharp. Within that munja grass, there is a paithi material, a central portion. And suppose a person wants to separate that paithi central portion from the grass. Maybe those days they used to do that for the sake of some medicinal purpose or something, we don't know. So they have to separate. If they don't separate it very carefully, it will cut their very hand. Similarly, consciousness has to be very carefully separated from the body-mind complex. If not, one will get lot of wrong conclusions. And each wrong conclusion is like a cut in the hand. When you try to separate the central portion of them, sharp munja grass. So we have six systems of philosophy in our tradition. They are called Shad Darshanas. And each has a concept of consciousness. Even modern science has got a concept of consciousness as a phenomenon in the brain. Therefore, it becomes the property of consciousness. So when brain dies, they think consciousness also dies. And some people drop the physical body and come to subtle body. The Nyayikas, the Nyaya experts. And the Nyaya philosopher, he says that consciousness is a property generated by combining Atma and mind. That's what he says. He accepts Atma different from body-mind, but it is a temporary property generated. That's what the Nayayikas, the Nyaya philosophers, they say. So each philosopher developed one concept of consciousness. So each misconception is a cut, like the munja grass. Whereas if one very carefully studies with the help of the scriptures, we should be careful with the help of the scriptures. Without scriptures, we can never arrive at the conclusions that we have arrived at. So initially, our experience and logic may help. But ultimately, scripture-based logic alone will work in this case, in Vedanta. That is called careful handling. Scripture will point out Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, Brahma. So Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, Brahma is what scripture will say. Consciousness is neither temporary nor it is a property of matter, but it is Brahman itself. So that is, which is consciousness. So the matter manifests. And where is that consciousness? Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Paramevyoman. That's what we saw. So, and after that, Tasmadva, Yetasmad Atmanaha Akashaha Sambhutaha. Taittiriya Upanishad says, from that time creation started. From there Atma Akasha came. So Munjat Ishikam Iva. Ishika is the central portion. I told you this paithi matter, the central portion. In the Munja. Munja means the grass. So the example is what? Just as the central portion is very carefully separated from the Munja grass, the inner self has to be separated from the body, mind, world, object, that objective universe, that complex. So this is the first state. So up to Vivichya in the shloka, up to Vivichya, this is the stage which reduces the creation into two things, namely consciousness and matter. And the second stage is the matter has to be resolved into consciousness, which is said here, Tatra Sarvam Pravilapya. Tatra means Atmani, Chaitanye, Asange, Akriye, Pratichi. So in that inner actionless, taintless consciousness, Pravilapya, one should resolve. Resolve what? Sarvam. Sarvam refers to the entire material universe. Drishyavargaha, the observed universe. So the observed universe should be resolved into the observer. Anatma should be resolved into Atma. Matter should be resolved into consciousness, Chaitanyam. So Sarvam, சர்வம் மீன்ஸ் திருஷ்ய வர்க்கம், தத்ர தத்ர மீன்ஸ் திருஷ்ய ஆத்மனி பிரவிலாப்ய. பிரவிலாபனம் மீன்ஸ் ரெசல்யூஷன், ஷுட் பி ரிசால்வ். அண்ட் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் க்வெஸ்சன் இஸ் ஹவு கேன் ஐ ரிசால்வ் த மேட்டர் இன் டு கான்சியஸ்னஸ். வாட் இஸ் மென் பை ரெசல்யூஷன்? வாட் டு வி மீன் பை தேட்? இட் இஸ் நாட் அ பிசிக்கல் ப்ராசஸ், இட் இஸ் அன் இன்டலெக்சுவல் ப்ராசஸ் ஆஸ் வி ஹவ் மென்ஷன்ட் மெனி டைம்ஸ். இட் இஸ் லைக் ரிசால்விங் த பார்ட் இன் டு கிளே without destroying the part. We don't break the part or do anything. We know it is, there is nothing like a part separately from the clay. By knowing that there is no substance called part, there is only one substance called clay. Part has got only a nominal existence, nama rupa vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. We have seen this also earlier, just namesake is part. Part is only a name given to the very same substance called clay. Similarly, matter is only another name for chaitanyam or consciousness. There is no substance called matter. Matter is non-substantial. Look at that. What Vedanta says. Vedanta puts it totally upside down. We all think matter is a solid substance and consciousness is a property. That's what in science and all we think. But Vedanta says that consciousness only is the solid substance, and matter is only nama rupa vacharambanam, that is vikaro namadeyam. So in Mandukya Karika, Gaudapada Acharya, he gives the example of alata. So just as the one tip of, you know, the agarbatti that we use in our pujas and all, when you move the agarbatti, you get several patterns of the smoke. So patterns are many, but the substance is only one glowing tip of this agarbatti. So only one glowing tip of agarbatti, when we move, so many patterns are generated. Similarly, there is only one glowing consciousness, which alone appears as matter. This knowledge alone is called resolution here. So that's called pravilapanam, a very important topic in Vedanta. Then what is left now? Tadatmana tishtati. Thereafter, may you remain as that non-dual consciousness, Atman. May you own up that non-dual self, consciousness as yourself. I am that consciousness. That is the paidi thing of the universe, which is in the munja grass, the central portion. I am that. மையேவ சகலம் ஜாத்தம், மயி சர்வம் பிரதிஷ்டிதம், மயி சர்வம் லயம் யாதி, தத் பிரம்ம அத்வயம் அஸ்மி அகம். தட் இஸ் த நாலேஜ். இன் மீ த நேம்ஸ் அண்ட் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் த மெட்டீரியல் யூனிவர்ஸ் தே ஆல் ரைஸ் இன் மீ, அண்ட் இன் மீ தே ஆல் ரெஸ்ட், அண்ட் இன் டு மீ தே ஆல் ரிசால்வ் ஃபைனலி. ததாத்மனா, ஸோ சைத்தன்ய ரூபேண திஷ்டதி, இன் த ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் சைத்தன்யம் இட் ரிமைன்ஸ். ஓகே, now we know this much. What is the benefit of this? That is the final question. What is the benefit? He says, saha muktaha, whomsoever recognizes that I am the center of the universe, I am the stuff of the universe, I am the substance of the universe, the only substance in the universe is I am. If a person recognizes, so in me the universe is a picture painted, I am the canvas, I am the screen. Everything happens on me. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam pashyan atmani mayaya bahurivod bhutam yada nidraya. We saw it in Dakshinamurti Stotram. Just as the entire dream world is an etching in me, the observer, similarly the creation is an etching in me, the consciousness, the one who knows thus, saha muktaha. In fact, saha eva muktaha. He alone is free from all bondage. He alone is free. No other way to gain moksha. Shloka 153. Deho yamanna bhavano namayastu koshaha channena jivati vinashyati tadvihinaha takcharma mamsa rudirasti purisharashihi nayam swayam bhavitumarhati nityashuddaha. So with the previous shloka, the introduction of the panchakosha viveka, that is over. So now one Shankaracharya will take up each kosha and point out that Atma is not any of them. All these will come under one topic called Atma Anatma Vivekaha. That is the seventh topic. If you remember all the questions, this is the seventh topic. From Shlokas 149 to 211, I already mentioned earlier, that is called Atma Anatma Vivekaha. And 149 to 153 is the introduction to this topic. And Shloka 154 onwards, Pancha Kosha Viveka begins. He starts with the first kosha here in this shloka. So 154 to 164 is Annamaya Kosha Atma Vivekaha. That is the topic. It's an elaboration of Tattva Bodha. Actually, Annamaya Kosha and all that that we saw in Tattva Bodha is an elaboration. First, he defines Annamaya Kosha. And in this shloka, Shankaracharya reveals two features of the body. Annamaya Kosha, the body, gross body. He reveals two features of them. One is Anityatvam. And second one is Ashuddhatvam. Shuddham, Ashuddhatvam. So body is Anitya. Anitya means impermanent. And it is Ashuddha. It is impure. And Atma is opposite. Nitya and Shuddha. Now how can Anitya, Ashuddha, Annamaya be equal to Nitya, Shuddha, Atma? It's a question. To show that the body is Anityam, he shows it is a product. To show body is Anityam, impermanent, he shows the body as a product. Product is Karyam. Yathu Kritakam Tathu Anityam. Yathu Karyam Tathu Anityam. Whatever is a product, it is impermanent. The body is product of what? Product of annam, food. This is the essence of this particular shloka. And he says, I am dehaha annamaya koshaha. This physical body, I am dehaha, is called annamaya kosha. And why it is called annamaya kosha? Because it is born out of annam, food, sustained by annam. And ultimately, it dissolves into annam. It is not directly though, it will mingle with earth, which again becomes food for the next generation. That's what happens. So annam alone is srishti, sthiti, laya, karanam for this body. Or we can say it is born out of the five elements also, sustained by them and goes back into them. So that is why they call the body as bhautika shariram also, born out of the five elements. Since the body is product of annam, in Sanskrit, a product is indicated by the suffix maya. For example, swarna mayam abharanam. That means what? An ornament which is a product of swarna, gold. Mrinmayaha ghataha. It's a product of mrit. Mrit means clay. So, in all these cases, the suffix maya that indicates that it is a product. So, when we say body is annamayaha, it means what? It is a product of annam, food. So he says, anna bhavanaha. Anna bhavanaha, born out of annam. Annathu bhavanam utpattihi yasyasaha anna bhavanaha. And bhavanam means utpattihi. It is produced by that. Then the question is, how do we say that the body is born out of food? Body is born out of mother. That's what we all think. How do we say body is born out of... Actually, Shastra imagines all possible questions. You may know today, but Shastra, it imagines all possible questions, whether we ask them or not, or even, we might not even thought of such questions. The Shastra says, annam does not produce directly the body. Annam enters the mother's and father's body, and that annam alone gets converted into egg and the seed in the parent's body, which in turn join together to produce the body. Therefore, shukla shonita rupena parinamam prapya shariram janayati. That's what it says. Not directly. Shukla or shukra, both are same. Seed in the male, the parent, and shonita, the egg in the female. Therefore, it is called anna bhavanaha. Indicates srishti karanam, the cause for creation. And whatever is a product, that is subject to birth and death. And so anityaha. Anything that is subject to birth and death is anityaha. It is not permanent. And anneva jivate, the body exists because of annam. So it is the sthiti karanam also. Without annam we cannot exist. Sthiti karanam. How do you know it is sthiti karanam? How to prove that? Tad vihinaha vinashyati. Without annam, tad vihinaha, one will die, vinashyati. So it is the cause for existence. So anvaya vitirikta logic, this is because it can, without that this cannot happen, so this should be there. So anna sattve sharira jivanam, anna abhave sharira nashaha. So without annam, the body will get destroyed. When body is, annam is there, the body will live. So tasmat annam eva sharira sthiti karanam. Because of that, food alone is the sthiti karanam, sustenance, cause for sustenance for the body. Then the next one only we have to supply, that is anne eva praliyate. It again resolves into annam only, food only. That means what? Anna rupa prithivim iliyate. It resolves into prithvi, which is the storehouse of all annam. And therefore, the body is called annamaya koshaha. The first two lines, they talk about the anityatvam of the body. And in the third line, Shankaracharya shows that the body is ashuddha, it is impure. Because it consists of the following materials. He gives a list of what are the things the body consists of. Tvak, charma, mamsa, rudira, asti, purisha. Tvak. Tvak means the external skin. Dermis. Charma means the internal skin or epidermis. Mamsa, flesh. Rudiram, blood. Asti, bone. Purishaha, the fecal matter, waste or excretion. And rashihi means bundle. So the body is a bundle or conglomeration of all these items which are all impure in nature. One day if a person does not take a shower, very difficult to even go to near such a, especially if it's in hot climates. And any amount of perfume cannot remove that smell. That also when a person is alive. If the person is dead, we cannot even imagine what it will be. So, shariram is considered ashuddham, not pure. So, two features have been talked about so far. And in the fourth line, the acharya talks about next feature. I am na bhavitum arhati. And we have to now supply Atma here. I am Atma na bhavitum arhati. Such a body can never be Atma. So such an impermanent, impure body can never be Atma. And what type of Atma it is? Which is Nitya Shuddha, which is permanent, which is pure. It is not Nityam Shuddha. Nityaha, according to grammar, can be taken as an adjective to Shuddha also. Then it will be Nitya Shuddha, means ever pure. But we are not taking that way here. We take it as nityascha shuddhascha. It is eternal and it is pure. And why do we prefer such an interpretation? Because the word nitya is to contrast with the word anitya of the body. The word nitya is to contrast with the impermanence of the body, anitya. That is, this is permanent. And the word shuddha is to contrast with the word ashuddha of the body. So I am, that goes with Dehaha. I am Deha. So I am Anitya Ashuddha Dehaha Nitya Shuddha Atma Na Bhavitum Arhati. It cannot. Sloka 155. Purvam Janera Dimritera Pinayamasti Chatakshanaha Kshanaguno Nitya Swabhavaha Naiko Jadascha Gadavat Paridrishyamanaha Swatma katam bhavati bhava vikara vetha. So in this shloka, another five features of the physical body is given, indicating that Atma is different from the body. And what are the five features here? Mithya. Mithya means the body is mithya. Mithya means it doesn't have an independent existence. Sagunaha. The body is endowed with gunas. Asthiraha, body is unsteady, it is non-uniform. Anekaha, body is manifold. And jadaha, body is inert. So all those things are described here and we have to analyze each one of them. The first line that shows that the body is unreal. How? Shankaracharya says, janehe பூர்வம் மிருத்தேகே அதி அயம் நாஸ்தி. பிஃபோர் பர்த் ஜனேகே பூர்வம் மீன்ஸ் பிஃபோர் பர்த் அண்ட் ஆஃப்டர் டெத் மிருத்தேகே அதி பாடி டஸ் நாட் எக்ஸிஸ்ட். பூர்வம் மீன்ஸ் பிஃபோர், ஜனேகே மீன்ஸ் பர்த், அதி மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப்டர், மிருத்தே மீன்ஸ் டெத். ஸோ தட் வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ், பாடி ஹேஸ் காட் டெம்பரரி ஆர் இன்சிடென்டல் எக்ஸிஸ்ட் ஆர் பாரோட் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் ஒன்லி. Which idea is already brought out before, you know, we get a corollary from this here actually. Whatever is temporary does not have its own intrinsic existence. Whatever is temporary does not have its own intrinsic existence. So it is called mithya. Every product has got only borrowed existence. Every product has got only borrowed existence, and the one that is not a product, that alone has got permanent existence. That is what Krishna also said in the Bhagavad Gita, nasato vidyate bhavaham na bhavo vidyate satah. The entire world is mithya because it has got only temporary existence. Then what should be satyam then? Whatever has intrinsic existence called Brahman, the very existence itself, that is satyam. Actually Gaudapada Acharya again, he says in his Manduki Karika, ஆதவ் அந்தேச்ச என் நாஸ்தி வர்த்தமானே அபி தத் ததா. தட் விச் டஸ் நாட் இஸ் நாட் தேர் வாஸ் நாட் தேர் பிஃபோர் அண்ட் தட் விச் வில் நாட் பி தேர் லேட்டர் தட் இஸ் நாட் தேர் இன் த ப்ரெசன்ட் ஆல்சோ. தட்ஸ் வாட் த மாண்டுக்கிய காரிகா ஹி சேஸ். ஃபார் எக்ஸாம்பிள், பாட் வாஸ் நாட் தேர் பிஃபோர் இட்ஸ் கிரியேஷன், இட் வில் நாட் பி தேர் லேட்டர் ஆல்சோ. ஆஃப்டர் இஸ் டிஸ்ட்ரக்ஷன் இட் வோன்ட் பி தேர். தென் ஜெனரலி வாட் டு பி திங்க்? பாட் இஸ் தேர் நவ், தட்ஸ் வாட் வி வில் திங்க். Whereas Gaudapada Acharya, he says, it is not there in the present also. How? If you really do inquiry on that, we will know that what we call as pot is nothing but clay only. So clay was, clay is, and clay alone will be. Pot has got only a verbal nominal existence. So anything that is anitya is called in Sanskrit as mithya. It is better we don't try to translate the word mithya as unreal, if not, you know, like a mental projection as dream or hallucination, some of those things, you know. It is tangible. It has its utility also, like this computer and all that. The world has its utility. And still, we call all of them as mithya. And what is the philosophical significance of mithya? It has got only verbal existence. Truth is something other than that. Like the example of pot, ornament, waves, all those things. As one goes deeper and deeper and reduce everything into atomic stage and further, and they reach a stage that you cannot go any further at all. That irreducible basic stuff, that is called Sat, the very existence itself. And according to Vedanta, that existence is Chaitanyam, consciousness. And therefore, பூர்வம் ஜனேகே மிருத்தேகே அபி நயம் அஸ்தி தஸ்மாத்து மித்யா. தென் ஜெனரலி வி கெட் அ நியூ பாடி இன் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் பர்த், தட்ஸ் வாட் வி திங்க். பிகாஸ் சி ஜாதக்ஷணா, ஜாதக்ஷணா இஸ் த நெக்ஸ்ட் வேர்ட். எவ்ரி மோமெண்ட் த பாடி இஸ் பார்ன், தட்ஸ் வாட் ஹி சேஸ். ஜெனரலி வாட் டு வி திங்க்? வி கெட் அ நியூ பாடி இன் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் பர்த். பரா சங்கராச்சாரியா சேஸ், really speaking, every moment, shanaha, every moment the body is born, reborn. New cells are produced, old cells are continuously replaced. According to medicine also, it seems our body is totally replaced in 12 or 15 years or so. So when you say, I am the body, which model of the body do we refer to? We don't even know. Like different car models, you know, we have so many models. So with one life, within one life itself, we are shedding old body and acquiring new body. Like for example, the snakes, you know, they shed their skin. So Shankaracharya says, Jatakshanaha. And this has to be connected with the third line, the first word, Naikaha. Jatakshanaha, therefore Naikaha. Naikaha means Anekaha. Naikaha, Anekaha. So since it is reborn every moment, this body, you do not have one body in this life. You have several bodies, anekaha. And what is the next feature? If you go to the second line, kshana gunaha. So it has got a new property every moment also. It is born every moment. It has got a new property every moment. For example, pain, pleasure, all those things. After 15 minutes, knee aches. If you sit on the floor, we know we want to, you know, bend this way, that way. They change the posture. So, krana gunaha. So, it is upachaya, apachaya, swabhavaha. Every moment changes. Kshane, kshane, gunaha, yasesaha, krana gunaha. So, the third feature is sagunatvam, attributes. And the fourth feature is aniyataha, aniyata swabhavaha. It is ever unsteady, astiraha. That is why we are not able to keep the body as fit as we want. So, by the time we manage our hair care, there are hair care, eye care, nail care, all those kinds of care. If you manage to take care of one care, then the nail grows or the tummy shows up, all those things happens. So, the third line is naikaha. That's the next feature. We saw along with jatakshanaha, we already saw that, so anekaha. And then the fifth feature is jadaha. Jadaha means inert. Even though we feel the sentiency of the body, according to Shastras, the body does not have natural sentiency, but it has got only borrowed sentiency. We have seen this discussion actually many times earlier. So, dehaha jadaha drishyatvat. The dehaha body is jadaha because it is an object. Baudhikatvat, it is material in nature. Like what? Bahya prapanchatvat, as the external world, the body is also inert matter, like the external world. And the ultimate pramana is what? Shastra. It clearly points out body is jadaha, achetanaha. Thus, shruti pramanena, by the pramanam of shruti Vedas, yukti pramanena, by all these logic and arguments, and anubhava pramanena, by our own experience. It's a dead body if you think it is chetana. So, because of these three, we conclude dehaha jadaha. It is inert. Shankaracharya, he gives the example. Gatavat paridrishyamanaha. Because body is very much like an object, like a pot, for example. Pot example is actually similar to the body. Pot also is made up of mud, and the body also is made up of mud only. Finest clay one can think of. That's body is also made up of that. And similar, and part also is breakable, so also the body, so many fractures and all that. And part also is round, and so we also become round maybe at some age, middle age or so, you know. Some people may not be walking, they may be only rolling. So all those things may happen. So ghatavate paridrishyamanaha. So these are all the five features. What are those now? Mithya, aneka, saguna, asthira and jada. And Atma must be seen as having the opposite of all these five features. What are those then? Mithya, Satyam, opposite. Anekaha, Ekaha, Atma is Ekaha. Sagunaha, Atma is Nirgunaha. Now we can ask the question, how do we know Atma is Ekaha? Because it is the same I. Even though between birth and death, I shed many bodies and acquire many bodies, the word I, that's first person singular, that never changes. It's the same I. So, Atma is Ekaha. Then body is Asthiraha, but Atma is Sthiraha. And body is Sagunaha, but Atma is Nirgunaha. And body is Jadaha, and Atma is Chaitanya Swarupaha. And we can also add, Swamiji says a sixth feature also, namely, body is Drishyaha, object of experience, and Atma or consciousness is not an object, but ever the subject. So, Atma is ever the seer, never the seen. Atma is ever the experiencer, never the experienced. It's ever the drik, never the drishyam. So, now if you look at the fourth line, Atma katham bhavati. We have to supply the word dehaha. How can such a six-featured body be the Atma, which has got diagonally opposite features? And one feature of Atma, Shankaracharya indicates here, Bhava Vikara Vetta, the Atma which is the awarer of all the modification. Bhava means objects and Vikara means modification. Vetta means experiencer. So, how can the Atma, which is the experiencer of the modifications of the object, be the body? That is, how can the subject be the body? The other five features of Atma, Shankaracharya, he does not mention here, we have to supply. Namely, what are those? Satyam, Asthiratvam, Ekatvam, Nirgunatvam, and all that. So, with this, we will stop here and we will continue the next webinar. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠితః తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య యః పరః స మహేశ్వరః శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు నారాయణ.